In the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light. Till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes. To fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word. From a throne of endless glory, to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings.
To reveal the kingdom coming and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation, you did not despise the cross. For even in your suffering, you saw to the other side. Knowing this was our salvation, Jesus, for our sake you died.
Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings.
And the morning that you rose, all of heaven held its breath, till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb has conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe. For the souls of all who'd come to the Father are restored. And the church of Christ was born, then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not yield, shall not faint. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me.
Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. Praise forever to the King of Kings.
Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. A special welcome also to those visitors in our midst. It's, as you probably noticed as we were walking in, Cadet Sunday. We've got a whole bunch of cadets here, and so a whole lot of families joining us for worship as well. I hope you feel welcomed among us this morning. And again, after the service, if you just kind of walk through this hallway where you normally pick your boys up for cadets in the fellowship hall, there is coffee and juice after the service, so please do stick around and join us for that. Just a couple of announcements this morning. One thing was not in the bulletin, and that was a birthday notice that Zach Hoyer, it's actually his birthday coming up on May the 2nd. He's 2 years old, so that's supposed to be in the bulletin. It wasn't included there. And also, the Sunday school for grade 6, 7, and 8. So if you are in grade 6, 7, or 8, your Sunday school teacher is sick today, so you do not have Sunday school. So grade 6, 7, and 8, no Sunday school. And this is where you start crying. Okay. Congregation, as we've gathered in this place, our gathering song to start off our worship this morning is number 693, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. Let's remain seated as we sing this first song.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught
at this time, I'm going to invite you to stand for the call to worship. Congregation, our call to worship this morning is from Psalm 66, the first two verses. The words are on the screen. I invite you to say them together with me. Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Give to Him glorious praise. All the earth worships you. They sing praises to you. Sing praises to your name. Congregation, indeed, the world gives praise to God. Congregation, I invite you this morning now to take a moment to prepare your hearts to worship our great and glorious God in a time of silent prayer, asking for God's blessing on this service and our time together. And we'll conclude that by singing the words of the song, Give Thanks, number 358. Let's go to God in silent prayer. Brothers and sisters, we affirm our faith and receive the greeting of our God. The words for the litany are on the screen for you to participate with. Brothers and sisters, congregation, from where does our help come? Our help comes from the Lord, the Creator of heaven and earth. Brothers and sisters, the Lord be with you. Receive the greeting of our God. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people say, Amen. You may be seated at this time, and I'm going to invite one of our cadets forward, and he's going to lead us in our cadet litany. And boys, for cadets, there is a special part also for you, so make sure you watch for the screen for your parts.
This year, One Word Cadet theme is amazing, and this litany, based on verses from Psalms 8 and Psalms 24, acknowledge that an amazing God we have. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers,
the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them?
Human beings, that you care for them.
Who may ascend to the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place?
Who is this King of glory? Is this King of Glory?
The Lord Almighty, He is the King of Glory. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
In Joshua 3:5, Joshua told the Israelites to consecrate themselves for tomorrow. The Lord will do amazing things among you.
Theme is also based on the cadet hymn, and that is Living for Jesus. And as we start to sing the song, the cadets may be seated.
Living for Jesus.
I'm going to invite the children forward, and the children's message will be given by Counselor Ernie this morning.
Could I have all the children come up? So, today, Pastor Andrew's sermon's text is going to be the themes of the cadets. You see all the cadets sitting here. They all have their shirts on, and the theme for the cadets this year is Joshua 3, verse 5. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Now, concentrate, that's a big word, but it means to give yourself to God, to be devoted to God, to prepare yourself to serve God. The cadets have a code that they say whenever they meet together, and you heard them say their code today. And part of the code is a cadet is consecrated. Joshua, who God used to lead his people into the promised land, was totally devoted to God. He had seen all the great things that God had done, and he told the people that he and his family would serve the Lord. The cadets on their shirt, they have a thing that says, you can see it. See on their shirt? It says, Living for Jesus. And that is their motto. And we live for him because of the amazing things that Jesus did for us. He says we are consecrated and or sacred, and that we can be with him in the promised land. Now, I want the junior cadets, all the junior cadets, I want you to come up here and I want you to line up, just the junior cadets, okay? Can you guys line up in a line? Just, and face, yeah, you can face the kids. And I want you guys to say the code. Cadets, what is your code? A cadet is reverent, obedient, compassionate, consecrated, trustworthy, grateful, loyal, industrious, and cheerful. Let's pray. Lord, help us to live for you, Jesus, and we pray that you do amazing things in these children's lives. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can go to Sunday school now.
Congregation, at this time we have opportunity to go to God in our congregational prayer. Let me lead us as we pray. Lord God, we thank you for who you are and what you have done. Lord, as we've read from the Psalms in the Litany, you have set your glory in the heavens. Lord, you made the earth and everything in it. And yet, Lord, you also loved us so much that you cared for us, that even though humanity fell into sin, Lord, you sent Jesus. Lord, your name is indeed majestic and awesome. Lord, and we praise you for who you are and all that you have done. Lord, we thank you for the many blessings that you have given us in our lives. Lord, as we gather for worship this morning, we can see the beauty of your creation. We see some beautiful flowers at the front of sanctuary. Lord, we see the trees all starting to bud, and now that there's green everywhere, the grass is growing. Lord, we thank you for the changing of the seasons and the beauty of that. Lord, we thank you for our bodies and for what they are able to do. We thank you for when we're able to do fun things like go to Cadet-O-Rama like the cadets did and use our bodies to participate in relays and other things. We thank you, Lord, for that. Yet, Lord, we're mindful sometimes that our bodies are not always perfect. Lord, sometimes bones get broken and legs get broken and we need casts and other things. Lord, we pray for those people who are struggling with physical challenges. Lord, be that with arthritis or ears or stomachs or cancer. Lord, you know the people in our church who have needs. And we pray, Lord, that you be with them. Be with those who need you in a special way, Lord God. Give them your grace. Lord, we thank you that this morning could be Cadet Sunday, that so many cadets and their families could join us for worship. Lord, we thank you for the cadet program where week after week, on Tuesday after Tuesday, the boys come and get to do exciting things like crafts and badges and eat popcorn and other fun things, make cub cars. But Lord, we thank you that also at cadets, they get to learn about you and how much you love them. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the counselors who are so dedicated to this program and for the parents who drop their kids off faithfully week after week. Lord, we pray that this program may continue to be a blessing and that the cadets may grow to know you and that little badge on their shirts may be true, that they would indeed seek to live for you out of thankfulness for what you have done for them. Lord God, we pray that as we continue in our service this morning, as we read from your word, as we hear the message proclaimed, that you will bless us, that we will be able to take from this message words to encourage us in our daily walk. Lord, guide us and keep us. Protect us and watch over us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, I'm going to invite one of the cadets forward. Rowan is going to come and lead us, and he's going to be reading from the book of Joshua. So, congregation, I would invite you to open your Bibles. And if your Bibles is the same as the one that I have here, it's on page 208. He's going to read from Joshua chapter 3, the verses 1 to 6. And boys, if you guys are listening here at the front, make sure that you do grab a Bible because I am going to be asking you questions and asking you to look at other verses around this one. So make sure you grab a Bible. All right? And Rowan, then, if you could come on up and do the reading for us.
Crossing the Jordan. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people." So I took it up and went ahead of them.
Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, congregation, I'm going to do something that I do twice a year, and that's kind of come down when I preach. And so I'm going to take a little music stand, and boys, I'm going to be kind of standing right here as I preach. Hopefully so you guys don't fall asleep, right? But I'm going to be talking about the cadet theme and what's you guys have studied. So boys, Do you guys remember what Counselor Mike said the theme for cadets this year was? It was a one-word theme. Yeah, you just read it, son. What was it? Amazing. Yeah, God is going to do something amazing. And that got me thinking. It got me thinking about things that are amazing. What kind of things do you boys think are amazing? What's amazing? Yeah. Pardon me? Soccer's amazing. Awesome. What other things are amazing? Yeah. Pardon me? Pogo sticks. Yeah. Your family's amazing. Yeah. Tractors. All right. I think we got a farmer here. Right? There's a lot of amazing things that God has made us. I think nature is amazing. I think, you know, seeing the beauty of these flowers that we have up here is amazing. One of the things that I really think is amazing is stars. Now, do any of you boys know what the name of our galaxy is? Where we live, the galaxy that we live. Yeah, go ahead. You have a guess there? The Milky Way galaxy. That's right. It's the Milky Way galaxy. Have you guys ever been like cadet camping or something like that and then looked up and seen the stars? Do you know how many stars are in the Milky Way galaxy? Anybody have a guess how many stars there are in there? Yeah, Rowan, you want to take a guess? Oh, that's a pretty big number. Yeah, you're in the right ballpark. It's actually, this is what scientists estimate, 100 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy. And this isn't the only galaxy out there. Do you know how many stars astronomers kind of guess are in all the galaxies that we know of? Yeah, Len, you want to take a guess? A lot. Yes, that's the right answer. Kind of, actually, the answer is kind of something that like maybe your kid brother or sister would say. 100 billion trillion that we currently know of. That's a lot more than I have fingers, that we have fingers for all of us. That's a lot of stars. Do you know what else I think is amazing? I think that you are amazing. And your body is amazing. Boys, take out your hand and look at your hand. In your hand alone are 2.5 billion cells. 2.5 billion. If each of the cells in your hand was the size of a grain of sand, how big is a grain of sand? That's really big, right? Oh, no. No, a grain of sand's pretty small. If each of the cells were the size of a grain of hand, you know how big your... Or grain of sand. Do you know how big your hand would be? Size of a school bus. That's how big your hand would be. And in those cells, God put something. God put something called DNA. You know, if your cells are like the computer, then the DNA is kind of like the program that kind of runs it and tells it what to do. We were talking about how big the world is and how many stars there are, right? There's different cells, and each of the things in the cells tell them what to do. They tell it to be a skin cell. They tell it, you can probably look and see, right, that your hand has color in it. And there's blood cells in there. They flip it over, you probably got some hair on there. The DNA tells it to grow hair. They even tell it what color to make the hair, like blonde like mine, or brown, or even like some of the counselors, no hair. Right? They all tell us to do different things. Each of those things tells you how tall you're going to be, how short you're going to be. Do you know if you took that cells, the DNA in your cells, and you stretched it out, do you have any idea how long it would be? Well, from here to the sun is 150 million kilometers. If you took the cells in your body, took the DNA out of them, and stretched it out, guess what you could do? You could go to the sun and back 100 times. That's the DNA in your body. That's amazing. So the sun, the moon, the stars are amazing. Your hands are amazing. Who made the stars? Yeah? Who made your bodies? Yeah? So if the God who made the stars is amazing, and the God who made your hands and everything in it, that's pretty amazing. So so what is God like? Yeah? God is amazing. Exactly. God is amazing. And this book tells us how amazing God is. His majesty, we read from some of that in the litany earlier. His glory, his greatness. It tells us all about who he is. And in our text today, we find out that God is also not just amazing himself, but he also does amazing things for his people. So what book of the Bible did we read from today? This is where I'm checking to make sure you're not sleeping. Yeah, James? Very good. You're reading up on the screen I see beside me. Joshua 3, 1 to 6. That's smart to use what information's available to you. Now, here's the harder question. What book of the Bible is Joshua? Oh, yeah? Quickly do the math. Yeah, guess, Len? 6, right? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. So this is the 6th book in the Bible. Now, here in this book of the Bible, God is going to do something amazing for his people. But in just the couple of chapters before us is kind of what I want to talk about. Earlier on in the story, we're just in kind of like the 6th book here, God's people were in slavery somewhere. Do you guys remember what the Bible story, where they were in slavery? Yeah, go ahead, Max. Where were they in slavery? They were slavery in Egypt. Do you think they liked being slaves in Egypt? No. Right? So God sent someone, because he saw his people were being slaves there. I didn't even finish the question. You already know the answer, Max. Or sorry, Hendrik, you already know the answer. God sent someone to lead his people out of slavery. And the answer is Moses. Yeah, and Moses had to go and talk to somebody in Egypt, kind of like the king, the leader of Egypt at the time. Yeah, go ahead. Pharaoh. And what did he have to tell Pharaoh? You've already had a chance. Yeah, in second row there. That's right, to let his people go. You think Pharaoh would have wanted to let the people go? No, he didn't want to let the people go, right? So God sent something on the people of Egypt. Yeah, okay, go ahead, Hank. Plagues, right? How many of them did he send? All right, let's see somebody who hasn't answered yet. Oh, yes, there, third row. 10 plagues, right? He sent 10 plagues, and eventually at the end of them, Pharaoh kind of reluctantly said, all right, the people could go. And so then the people of Israel, they leave Egypt, right? And they kind of head out, but they kind of go in a little bit of a circle, and then all of a sudden, Pharaoh kind of changes his mind. He's like, hey, I think I want to get my slaves back. And so Pharaoh starts to chase after the Israelites, but where the Israelites have kind of walked to, there's something that prevents them from getting away. Does anybody know what that is? I haven't had you yet. John, go ahead. Water, that's right. Does anybody know what the name of that water was? Yeah? The Red Sea, that's right. So there's the Red Sea in the way. So then Pharaoh catches him, and that's the end of the story. Oh, it's not. Well, God did something, right? And God actually, what did it, you're like not even hardly sitting on your chair anymore, Hank. Let me guess, Kelton, though. What did God do for the Israelites? He parted the waters, right? Because there's over like a million people there, and they had to get through. And God parted the waters, and the Israelites walked right through. That's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing. The book of Exodus, chapter 14, tells us about this. So, parted the waters, the people walk right through the waters, and they know this God is amazing. He sent all those plagues. He parted the waters so we could walk through. Our God is amazing. We're going to obey God and do everything he tells us to, and that's the end of the story. It's not. Why are you guys shaking your heads? What happened next, Hank? Yeah, the water came back over the Egyptians, that's right. But then the Israelites, after walking through, they didn't actually follow God. Even though they saw how amazing God was, even though God, I haven't even asked a question, you already know the answer. That's incredible. Right? God had already shown them how amazing he was. But then Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the people, They complained. They grumble. They disobey. And God says, you're not going to enter the promised land. And so for 40 years, they have to wander in the desert. So that's kind of books one, the end of book one, two, three, four, five that we're at. But now, God is going to lead his people. And so Moses has passed away, and God has raised up a new leader. What's the new leader of Israel? You have everyone in the back? Joshua, right? So Joshua's leading the people, right? And they're going to go do something. And so they've walked right to the edge of the desert, right to where they're going to cross over into the promised land, except there's something in the way again. What is it, Jairus? Well, yeah, there's giants in the land, absolutely, but there's some kind of barrier, something they can't really get past, yeah? Oh, yeah, that's the big city that's there. There's something more physical in the way, yeah, Hank? The Jordan River, that's right. The Jordan River's in the way. And so God is got his people on one side. Now, God could have probably made a whole bunch of boats, right? God could have probably made a bridge, right? Or could have dug a tunnel. But God is going to do something else. What is God going to do, Max? He's going to part the water again. Now, the Jordan River, now today they use a lot of it. They have dams set up, and they use it for irrigation in Israel. But at that time, when the Israelites were kind of by there, the Jordan River normally was about anywhere from about 3 feet, so that's kind of like waist height on me, right? Up to about 10 feet. So that's just, well, that's where a basketball net is. So just, this is 9 feet, so just a little bit taller than that. So anywhere from 3 feet to 9 feet. So it's kind of like your swimming pool. And it's about anywhere from 90 to 100 feet deep. So that's from kind of like where I'm standing here to kind of where the road is out back. So just look out to where the road is. That's about how wide it is. And it's about, like I said, from a waist height to about just up out there. Normally. You guys still have those Bibles open that I told you to keep open? Yeah? Look ahead. Rowan didn't read this far. Look ahead to verse 15. What's going on at that time? Read it there. Yeah, gentlemen in the back. Yeah. Ooh. Jordan River's at, say it really loud, at what stage? Flood stage. What do you think flood stage is like? You think that's normal river? No. Flood stage is less water or more water? Way more water, right? I was looking up in the U.S., the National Weather Survey says that 6 inches of flood water, when it's raging really fast, so 6 inches. So if you, I don't know if you guys can see that, that's about like as high as my socks go, way down here. 6 inches can knock over a full-grown man. That'd knock over me. 12 inches, so kind of here, that can actually sweep away a small car. 24 inches could even knock away Counselor Luke's big van. That 24 inches, that's just here. How deep did I say that water was again? It was 3 to 10. How are they going to get across? How can they get across? Yeah, Colton, how can they get across? What is God going to do for them? He's going to... Exactly. He's going to part the waters. God's going to do something. But first, in the text that we just read, they have to wait for 3 days. And then God tells them to do something. God tells them to do something. What did he say they had to do? Do you remember? Yeah. Yep. You're, that's right. That's farther on in the story. But right at the very beginning, God tells them that they had to do something. And Counselor Ernie actually said it in the children's message. It's in verse 5 if you need a hint. Look there at verse 5. You don't have a Bible in front of you. You still know the answer, though? You want to try it? You guess what they got to do? They got to do something. It's part of the cadet code is the hint. They have to... no, not cheerful. Yeah, Len? They have to consecrate themselves. Consecrate themselves. Now, Counselor Ernie already, he must have known what I was going to preach on or something, because he actually told you. Did you guys pay attention in the children's message? What does consecrate mean? Ooh, that's a little bit of a harder one. Counselor Ernie, you still have the words in front of you there? What does consecrate mean? To dedicate yourself to God. To prepare yourself. To get ready. So when you guys are at home and your mom says, go get ready for bed, do you know what that means? That means just whatever clothes you're wearing, hop into bed? No, that's not normally what your mom probably wants you to do, right? Yeah, maybe some of you guys are smiling and nodding. You could take a seat, Hank, right? Right? So you'd probably have to go to the bathroom, right? You got to brush your teeth, you got to go pee, right? Kind of do the regular things, probably put your dirty clothes in the laundry, right? And put on your PJs, right? Those are the kind of things you need to get ready for bed. How about getting ready for cadets? What kind of things you have to do for that? Yeah, Max, what do you got to do? You got to get your cadet uniform on, right? You got to probably put on nice jeans, right? Your nice shirt there, and your slide and your sash, right? You got to put all that stuff on. You got to get ready. You got to be prepared for it. So God tells the Israelites, you got to be prepared. God, I'm going to do something, and God, Colton already told us, is going to separate the water so they could walk through on dry land. Now, what is that story? God's going to separate the water so they can walk through on dry land. What does that remind you of? We've already kind of talked about it. What does that remind you of? What did we just talk about? Yeah.
The Red Sea,
exactly. Right? God is going to do something. It's not really original. He's kind of already done it before. Like I said, he could have made a bridge or a tunnel or something different, or boats. But it reminds them of something God did before. Now, sometimes people can tell you something, but you don't really listen. Sometimes you need to experience it. Like sometimes, hypothetically maybe, parents could say, well, a stove in the winter when there's a fire inside of it is hot. You shouldn't touch the stove because it's hot. But sometimes people have to figure it out for themselves and touch it anyways. Or sometimes parents could say, well, those little cubes that you put in the dishwasher are soap. They taste yucky. But sometimes people have to. But sometimes people have to try it. They have to see it for themselves. Sometimes people need to learn. Now, for those people that day who were right there by the edge of the Jordan River, they had probably had their parents tell you, well, long ago, God parted the waters of the Red Sea, and we walked through. Our God is amazing. But these people, this is a new people. And they had to be reminded that God does amazing things for them. God was reminding the people, just like I did amazing things back then, I'm going to do amazing things for you. And then maybe some of you know the rest of the story of Joshua, and they get the land that God has promised them. And the amazing thing, boys, is that God still does amazing things. Now, this is where we do need to be careful, though, because sometimes we can think, well, if I just consecrate myself, if I just prepare myself the right way, then God will do the amazing thing that I want him to do. Right? We think like God's like a genie in a lamp. If I just rub the lamp the right way, that God will poof, appear, and grant me my wishes. Well, that's not exactly how it works. God still does amazing things. God can do miracles, and God can heal people or give you what you need. But sometimes that's not God's plan. But God actually, and this is jumping way further ahead in the story, this is jumping to the New Testament, but God actually fixed the biggest problem people have. What is the biggest problem people have, Hank? Ooh, their sins. Yes, sin is what separates us from God. It means that all of you cadets are sinners. It means the counselors here are sinners. It means if you turn around and look, that the moms and dads and everybody else here is a sinner. It means that I'm a sinner. Yeah, you don't have to go, oh, I'm a sinner too. I'm not perfect. I'm separated from God because of sins and how I don't follow God perfectly. but God. The God who's so amazing, the God who created all those stars that we talked about, the God who made your hand so amazing with the cells and the DNA and everything in it, did something else amazing. The creator of heaven and earth, the one who's so majestic and powerful, he became human just like us. That's what Christmas is all about. When God came down, he was human. Cells, hands, feet, DNA, like us. Perfect in every way, but without sin. And he lived a perfect life. But at the end of his life, he suffered. And then what happened? It's the story of Easter. What happened on Easter? Yeah, oh, go ahead. Yeah, that's right. That's the cross. But that's Friday. Something else happened on that Sunday. What happened then? I said, yeah, go ahead in the third row. He rose again. That's the Easter message. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. God loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. So even though God sometimes doesn't move the biggest problems in our life, he addressed the biggest problem. And we can live with him. And then after doing these things, God also did another amazing thing. If you still have your Bibles open, he tells the people they got to do something. Go to chapter 4. Verse 3 of chapter 4. What does God tell the Israelites to do there? Yeah, Rowan. Yeah, that's right. So right where they had to walk into the middle of the Jordan with that Ark of the Covenant, he told people to get stones from right there and to take them out. And he told one person from each tribe. How many tribes were there in Israel? You've already answered lots of questions. Yes, go, Jay. 12 tribes, right? So 12 stones, and they had to set them up in a pile. Now, why do you think God would have got them to use, like, rocks instead of dirt or wood or something like that? Why would God tell them to get stones to mark something? Yeah, you want to take a guess, Len?
But then when their, like, ancestors came, they could see it?
Yeah, the opposite way. Descendants, right? When their descendants would come, that they would see it, because rocks are going to last for a while. And in fact, actually, if you have your Bibles open, you still have your Bibles open, look there at chapter 4, verse 6. It's going to help people do exactly kind of what Len was just saying. What does chapter 4, verse 6 say? To serve as a sign among you in the future when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? And verse 7 continues the story. Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it crossed the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones will be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. What's a memorial? Yeah, you want to take a guess, Hank? A little bit less sure. The hand was only here instead of here. Memorial. Oh, exactly. A thing that reminds you of something. So verse 6 tells us that someday, the kids and the grandkids, so like when you guys are grown up and you guys are like as old as some of the counselors or even older and you guys have kids and maybe even grandkids, that their kids would walk by and say, hey, Dad, what's up with those rocks over there? And then you could say, well, this is what God did. This was an amazing thing that God did. Oh, yeah, and he stopped that river right over there. And the river regularly was from here to the road, and regularly from here to here, and it was at flood stage, and God stopped it. And we walked through on dry ground. It would help the people to remember. And you know what? We still do that today. We have things that help us remember. If you go just a little bit north from here in town, just beside the Anglican Church and the TD Bank. There's this stone thing there. We always go there in November. Anybody know what that is, James? Yeah, what is it? Yeah, it's the people who died in the war. It's to help us remember. Or if you guys ever seen like some statues or something. Exactly, it says, lest we forget. It's to help us remember. We have a plaque sometimes, right? We put up a statue of things, right? That helps us remember. We do that in church too. If you guys are sitting there and you look up here, what kind of things do we have here up at the front of church? Yeah, John, what do we have there? Yeah, we have the cross. Well, what does the cross help us remember? It helps us remember Good Friday, that Jesus died and that he rose again. And we have this thing right here. What's that for? Yeah, Max, what's that for? For baptizing. Yeah, we're going to do that for your sister next week. Right? God's commandment for the children and all the children to follow. Right? That Jesus loves them. It's to help us remember. And what about the stuff over here on this side? What's that stuff over there? Yeah, somebody who hasn't answered yet. No, you've answered already. Somebody who hasn't answered. What's that stuff on that far side over there? No, Rowan, you've already answered a bunch too already. No, James, you've already had a chance to answer. Somebody new. All right. The Last Supper, right? And Jesus actually told his disciples, do this in remembrance of me. And we have a Bible up there at the front, and it helps us to remember. You know, once upon a time, I too was a cadet. I remember making cub cars. I saw a couple in the fellowship hall. I remember doing compass relay and knots and lashing. I'm not very good at the knots and lashing part. I did okay at compass. And cadets, you learn fire building. You make crafts. But most of all, in cadets, you learn about Jesus. You learn about Jesus and what he has done for you. And knowing then that Jesus loves you, that he died on the cross for your sins too, you're invited to live a certain way. What does that thing on your shirt say right there? And what does it say, young gentleman, second row? Living for Jesus. You're invited to live for him, knowing that Jesus loves you. So what does it look like then for you to live for Jesus? Well, you guys said it earlier. It's to be reverent and obedient and compassionate and consecrated and trustworthy and pure and grateful and loyal and industrious and cheerful. Well, that's usually how you guys say it, right? Cheerful. That's what we're called to be. Do you guys have any ideas why these counselors over here and a couple that are sitting amidst you, do you know why they come to cadets on Tuesday night? Do you think they're bored at home? Do you think that their wives just say, here, go. Maybe that's what their wives sometimes do. Do you know why they come? It's not just so you can build an amazing craft. It's not just so you can have some good things to eat. It's not just so you can make cars. But it's so that you can learn about God and how amazing he is. It's to help you remember that our God is amazing. And so that's why at a church we have cadets. If you were here in church last week, we have gems. That's why even some of the little ones went off to have Sunday school and we have Bible study. It's to help all of us. That's why we come to church week after week to remember how amazing our God is and what he has done for us. And then, boys, then we can do what your shirt says right there. Live for Jesus out of thankfulness for what he has done for us. Because our God is amazing. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the story of Joshua and the Israelites crossing the Jordan River. Lord, that river looked pretty big, probably pretty intimidating. But Lord, you stopped that river and helped the people walk through. Lord, you do amazing things. Lord, you helped your people and you gave them a place. And Lord, you are in the business of doing amazing things. In fact, Lord, because of sin and how broken humanity was, you came as a little baby to be one of us. Then you grew and lived a perfect life and ultimately suffered and even died for us. And Lord, you did this so we can be with you. Lord, you truly are amazing. Lord, we thank you that we can learn all this truth, that we can learn these Bible stories. And Lord, that we can learn and that we can know that you are amazing and you are still doing amazing things today. Lord, we thank you for cadets, that these young boys, these young men can learn the truth of Scripture about how you love them. And Lord, knowing this truth, Lord, we pray that they can indeed do what their shirts say, that they can live for you, that they can be all those things that the Cadet Code challenges them to be. Lord, help not just the cadets, but help each and every one of us, Lord, to live for you, to by our lives show that we're thankful that you died on the cross for our sins, and that we seek to live out of gratitude, out of thankfulness for what you have done for us. Lord, help us to live for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, I'm going to invite the team to come on up, and they're going to lead us in singing our song of response, "You Are My King, Amazing Love." And if you listen to the words of the song, it reminds us of what God has done for us, his amazing love. I'm going to invite everybody to stand as we sing that song.
This morning's offering is for the cadets. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for our cadet club, and we thank you for all the cadets and the counselors, and bless them in all that they do, and please be with the cadets as they grow in faith in you through the cadet program, and grant that they may live for Jesus in all that they do. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I have the cadets that are going to take the offering now?
I myself am a parent who sends children to cadets, and so I do want to echo that thanks to the counselors, and I think many other parents share that that thankfulness for the work that you do, the fun that you guys have, and also I know there weren't tons of pictures of Bible study and stuff as well, but I'm just so thankful for the program and all that it encompasses, and the time and energy that you gentlemen put into it. It is incredible, and it is appreciated, so thank you gentlemen all for your work. Congregation, as we come to the close of our service this morning, we're going to sing as our parting song, How Great Thou Art. Then we'll have the benediction, and then unannounced after it, we'll sing as a doxology, This Little Light of Mine. I invite you to stand if you're able as we close out our service this morning.
I see the stars.
I realized, forgot one announcement, and that is just a reminder for our youth group. That youth group is meeting tonight after our PM service, so our youth group is meeting tonight, just a reminder for them. Brothers and sisters, as we plan to go from this place, go with this blessing from the Lord your God. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace. And all God's people say, Amen.